Breakfast with Spanky, 7:30 to 9:30 on RDU 98.5 FM.
I'd like to welcome onto the show Jason Northover from Military Activity Camps. Good morning, Jason.
Kia ora, how are you?
Nice to have you with us. I'm very good. And so, people, it'll be kind of fresh in their mind, Jason, because they might have seen on TV or in the newspapers some of the stuff you've been doing in Christchurch with your guys marching around. Is that right?
Yep, that's right.
And so, how did you get into these military camp things that you run? Is your background as a soldier?
No. I work for Child, Youth and Family.
All right.
So my role was to coordinate the program, and then we've got a fantastic team of 12 staff that work directly with the young people. And then in conjunction with that, we've got a team of the Youth Life Skills New Zealand Defence Force staff that work with us as well.
And how long has it been going for?
Well, this is the third one that we've run, so this is the official pilot, and so far all is well.
And is it the first, so it's the main one in New Zealand is operating here in Christchurch?
That's correct.
Yeah, to see how it goes, and then they might roll it out.
Yeah, well, who knows?
Who knows? What kind of people come on the camps? Do they tend to be younger people?
Yeah, so the age range is kind of 15 to 17, and ideally the program's targeted at the higher recidivist offenders.
Right, so these are people who have offended before. They're not just at risk as such.
No, that's right. They are offenders.
And where do you get them from? Have they gone through the youth justice system?
Yep, that's correct. So basically, they have their family group conference. They get sent off to youth court, and youth court judges put them through our program.
Do they give them the option? Do they say, look, you can either go and do some youth time here, or you can go on this new program. It's going to be hard, but that's your two options.
Yeah, well, the program's kind of aimed at, we're looking at those high-end recidivist offenders, so we're kind of the last step or the last chance they get before they go on to prison or a life of crime, really.
And what kind of crime have they committed? Is it assault and stealing stuff?
Predominantly, it's recidivist car offending. We do have some that are in for assault, but it's the guys that are just over and over again.
Right. I imagine the illegal downloading guys would feel out of place.
possibly.
What kind of stuff? So, do you do with them? Is the idea that you try to break them down?
Well, not really, no. I mean, the focus of the course is to create a behavioural change. So get these guys into a state where they're aware that there is actually another way to go. So the program's designed, we've got a set routine, which is reflective of what would happen in the real world. You know, you wake up, you go to work, you come home. During the day, they go to school. We've got a group of guys that come in and run a criminogenic program that looks at the behaviours that are behind their criminal activities.
Really?
We've got a guy that comes in and runs an alcohol and drug education program. The case leaders, they do individual casework with each of them. Through the YLS, the Youth Life Skills team, they run adventure therapy. So we take them out, we push them to their physical limits, and then kind of reflect that back on how that's affecting their behaviour and that kind of stuff. Solid structure and consistency of rules. So just so that way that they can kind of operate within some boundaries, learn how to deal with that, and then kind of move forward positively.
Because the perception I've had, and that's because people throw around this term boot camps, over and over, is that you get them, you wake them up early, you scream at them, get them to run through some, do some push-ups, and hopefully when they come out the other end, they'll be good, sensible members of society. But it sounds like more that you put them through routine, and then you actually try to get them to understand why they do the things they do.
Exactly, you know. There's no screaming in their faces and trying to break them down. The first week of the program is based around assessment. So all the different facilitators come in and they assess where they're at and where they need to go. The second week is we take them out into the wilderness and we spend a week out in the middle of nowhere and just take away all of the sense of entitlement, all of the lush backgrounds that they might have, the McDonald's and that kind of stuff. And just show them how to kind of build on the basic fundamentals that they do have hidden inside there.
You must have to be pretty tough on them sometimes, though. Like,
well,
how long do you have them for?
We've got them for 8 weeks.
Yeah, because they'd be little shits, wouldn't they?
Yeah, there's times when, I mean, we've got 10 teenage boys, so If you kind of picture your average teenage boy,
that'd be horrible.
Then you throw on some of the backgrounds that these guys come from.
Yeah.
So I mean, when you talk about being hard on them, I guess the biggest one is we're pretty strict with the rules. So we've got set rules, and it's about explaining to the guys why we've got those rules and the benefits that they can gain by following them.
And do they cry much?
Cry? Oh, we get a bit of grizzling. Not so much tears, but yeah, obviously we've got boys that don't want to do as they're told, as most teenage boys don't.
And so always funny, isn't it, when you see those, I've seen it on TV in the boot camp style things, and the guys are upset, but they're off in the bush, so they want to wander off, but there's nowhere to wander off.
That's
and they
right.
look incredibly lame wandering off and then just kicking a tree.
Yeah, that's right.
It's hard to rebel when all you've got are trees.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Kick.
And I guess the funny thing is that once the boys get used to the rules and the routines, they kind of start taking a bit of pride in themselves. And I guess that's one of the other things the program's designed to do. Mm. Make them proud of the positive stuff they can do and can be aware of. And that kind of helps steer them on a positive path.
And so the results so far with the ones that have come out, I mean, it's early days.
Yep.
But I guess 8 weeks is long enough. It should be long enough to break patterns, isn't it?
Yeah, well, and again, it's more about empowering the young person to see that it's worth breaking those patterns. And some of them come into us, and they've actually got no idea that there's another way. We took the boys on a CPIT tour just to show them that there's training opportunities out there. Some of them had no idea.
Yeah.
So part of the program is creating an awareness that there is another way to go. There are other options that can help them do what they want to do without beating people up, stealing cars, that kind of thing.
They probably never even considered being a hairdresser until then.
No, that's right, you know, polishing people's nails.
Yeah. And so my dream here of, I always imagined that if we did get invaded, the advantage of this is we could mobilise these kids as a guerrilla force where they'd use their training to defend us, but it sounds like they're just going to be incredibly self-aware.
Yeah, well, hey, a self-aware force, if we get invaded, is probably something that's going to be beneficial.
Here comes North Korea. Yeah, it's not going to do. Hey, nice talking, Jason.
Yeah, thanks for your
thanks
time.
Thanks for catch up. Bye-bye.
Thank you,
that's Jason Northover, the military activity camps. I don't quite know why military is even in his name then. It doesn't sound like it's very military. Obviously, they shout at them sometimes. Right.
This has been a Breakfast with Spanky podcast, thanks to RDU 98.5 FM. To find out more, go to rdu.org.nz.